sports history fans. I'm Ross from the podcast Pigskin Tales. You're about to jump into another thrilling sports history moment, but first, let's dive into today's sponsor, just in time for the holiday season. Introducing Art of Words, the brainchild of word artist Dan Duffy from Philadelphia. Dan meticulously crafts stunning images by handwriting relevant words from some of the greatest sports moments in time. These unique, budget-friendly illustrations are the perfect gift, sparking cherished memories and capturing hearts. Choose from city skylines, sports, history, and musicians to find a piece for everyone. And here's the exciting part. For that sports fanatic in your life, gift them a piece of their favorite team or player's history. Art of Words tells a compelling story. Explore collegiate stadiums, each meticulously crafted with every football victory etched into words. Or venture into baseball stadiums, handwritten with every player from the team's illustrious history. My favorite on the site is Bryce Harper 2021 MVP year. Because I'm a big stats guy, I think that's one of the coolest things ever. Check it out. Don't wait. Order a print today for yourself and your loved one this holiday season. Transform your wall into a gallery of captivating art and surprise your family and friends with a print of their own. Use code SHN15 at artofwords.com for a 15% discount on your order in November and December. Visit Art of Words, where words magically transform into stunning art, evoking cherished memories and touching the hearts of those who you care about. Again, use the code SHN15 for 15% off at artofwords.com.
They always say for stories to be great, they must have a great beginning, middle, and an end. And in today's football history headlines, we'll start at the beginning of the CFL in the 1880s. We'll go to the middle where we'll have some great all-star games, and we'll get near the end as we get in the Super Bowl era and some great Hall of Fame legends. And it's all coming up in just a moment. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of sports yesteryear. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're broadcasting from the Pig Pen in Western Pennsylvania, bringing you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So, with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines. Hello, my football friends, and welcome to the Pig Pen. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and we're going to bring you some great January 16th gridiron news. And we'll start off with your football history headlines for that date in 1883. The Quebec Rugby Football Union forms per the PRFA's publication, The Coffin Corner, Volume 23, by Robert Sproul in 2001. After a group of Canadian teams in Ontario organized on January 6, 1883, a group of teams from Quebec province also organized. There were teams from Montreal, McGill, Britannia, and Quebec City. In the game they played, there were 15 players per side, and on the field was 110 yards in length. At the time, the game more closely resembled rugby by today's standards. But at the time, it was different because the ball was placed on the ground and teams, which were lined up on opposing sides, came together to try to gain control of the ball and try to push it past a line on the ground and near the end. Sproul notes that it was closer to a line of scrimmage than it was a scrum. Finally, in 1904, the QRFU adopted a system of downs where it would slowly morph into what was recognized as Canadian football and eventually the CFL. January 16, 1955, at the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum. It was at the fifth annual NFL Pro Bowl game that the Western Conference team defeated the Eastern Conference 26-19. The game's most valuable player was San Francisco 49er wide receiver Billy Wilson. January 16, 1965, at Jepson Stadium in Houston. The American Football League held its fourth All-Star game, and in the end-of-the-year exhibition game, the Western Division defeated the Eastern Division squad by the score of 38-14. The MVPs of this contest were the Los Angeles Chargers running back Keith Lincoln and Willie Brown, the Denver Broncos defensive back. January 16, 1970. The NFL realigned three divisions in each conference after the official merger of the AFL into the NFL per the American Football Fandom site. As we talked about in earlier posts, the NFL had 16 teams prior to the merger, while the AFL had only 10. The easiest fix to balance out the conferences was to move three traditionally NFL teams into the new AFC to join the existing AFL squads. So, in the realignment, the Baltimore Colts, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the Cleveland Browns all joined the old AFL squads in the conference. The divisions were set up like this. The AFC West was being made up of the Raiders, Chargers, Broncos, and Chiefs. The AFC East consisted of the Bills, Colts, Patriots, Jets, and Dolphins. The Central Division of the AFC placed the Browns, Bengals, Oilers, and Steelers together. Over in the other conference, the NFC East consisted of the Eagles, Redskins, Cowboys, Giants, and Cardinals, while the NFC Central was comprised of the Packers, Bears, Vikings, and Lions. The Rams, 49ers, Saints, and Falcons made up the NFC West. Well, after a couple years of those conferences and that reorganization realignment, it all came down to January 16, 1972 at Tulane Stadium in New Orleans. The NFL title would be decided in Super Bowl VI as the Dallas Cowboys and the Miami Dolphins would clash to see who would take home the Lombardi Trophy. Dallas running back Dwayne Thomas pounded out 95 yards on the ground with a touchdown, while Roger Staubach tossed scoring passes to Mike Ditka and Lance Allworth to lift the Cowboys over the Miami Dolphins 24-3. According to the ProFootballReference.com, Roger Staubach hit on 12 of 19 passes for 119 yards and two scores and was selected as the game's most valuable player. January 16, 1988. The St. Louis Cardinals football team announced that they would be moving to Phoenix, according to the BarstoolSports.com. The franchise spent 27 years in the gateway to the West City, and the Cardinals, who are the oldest franchise in the NFL, are the first to have called three different cities home. Our colleague on the Sports History Network, Joe Zimba, has some great podcasts on the history of the Cardinals, especially their years in Chicago. Joe is probably one of the foremost experts on Cardinals history, and that is solidified in his great book, When Football Was Football. How can you get more of an expert than that when you have books that you've written about a team? So make sure you check out Joe Zimba's book and his great podcast, as well as more great podcasts from other great providers on the SportsHistoryNetwork.com. Speaking about the SportsHistoryNetwork.com and some of the other great podcasts, here's one of my partners from the network right now to tell you all about his podcast.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
Now that's definitely a podcast you're going to want to check out because there's some great content on there. Now let's go to the birthdays of our Hall of Famers, and we'll start off for this January 16th on 1882 in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Henry Phillips, the stellar Suwannee guard, was born. The National Football Foundation selected Harry Phillips to go into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1959. January 16, 1894, Blue Springs, Nebraska. Guy Chamberlain, the sensational back and end from Nebraska Wesleyan and the University of Nebraska, was born. In 1911 and 1912, Chamberlain started at Wesleyan. He then transferred to play with the Cornhuskers of Nebraska in 1914, and the team was 7-0-1 in 1914 with Chamberlain at halfback, scoring on runs of 90, 85, 70, and 58 yards per the NFF. After transfer to end in 1915, he became an All-America selection, and Nebraska went 8-0 on the season. The Cornhuskers had beaten Notre Dame 20-19. Newt Rockne, then a Notre Dame assistant coach, called Chamberlain the key to Nebraska's victory. For his final college game, November 20th, 1915, he moved back to halfback and scored 5 touchdowns in a 52-7 romp over Iowa. Guy Chamberlain's stats and bio went into the College Football Hall of Fame in the year 1962. After school and after serving in World War I, Guy played pro football for 8 years. Bear legend George Halas called him the greatest two-way end in the history of the game. He was not only a good player, but he was a great early coach in the NFL, according to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. In his 6 coaching seasons, 5 of them were spent as a player coach. Chamberlain also won 4 NFL championships for the Canton Bulldogs in 1922 and 1923, the Cleveland Bulldogs in 1924, and the Frankfurt Yellow Jackets in 1926. The Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrined Guy Chamberlain in the year 1965. January 16, 1914, New Orleans, Louisiana. The great halfback of Tulane, Claude Monk Simmons, arrived into life. Monk's father was a highly regarded trainer of the Green Wave of Tulane, and his young son grew up dreaming about being on the playing field of the gridiron for Tulane. Sometimes with hard work and dedication, those dreams do come true, and they sure did for Simons. The NFF has a great story on their bio of Monk. The Tulane team was invited to host a Sugar Bowl game against the head coach Pop Warner's very talented Temple team. That New Year's Day in 1935, the 22,000 fans filled the air with excitement. The home crowd was silenced at the onset of the contest as Temple scored 2 quick touchdowns to start the game. Simons had been preparing for this moment for most of his young life and his dreams. After the second out TD, Tulane's Johnny McDaniel handed off to Simons, and the fleet-footed halfback raced 86 yards down the sideline for the score that ignited the Green Wave to a comeback and eventual 20-14 victory. The College Football Hall of Fame inducted Monk Simons in 1963. January 16, 1953, Akron, Ohio. Dave Brown, the safety from Michigan, was born. Michigan had a remarkable defense when Brown was on the team. The Wolverines were 32-1, and in 33 games played, his team surrendered more than 10 points in only 5 games and registered 11 shutouts, according to the NFF. As a junior, Brown was a consensus All-America selection, and he scored a TD in each of his 3 seasons played. Dave Brown was received as a legend into the College Football Hall of Fame in the year 2007. Our final Hall of Famer that celebrates a birthday on this January 16th was born in 1977 in Phillipsburg, Kansas. The great Kansas State linebacker Mike Simoneau was born. According to the footballfoundation.org website, Simoneau holds the school record with 251 career unassisted tackles, ranks 3rd in school history with 400 total tackles, and 52 tackles for loss and 8 forced fumbles. The NFF voters selected Mark Simoneau to enter into the College Football Hall of Fame in 2012. Mark was a 3rd-round draft pick of the Atlanta Falcons in the 2000 NFL Draft. Mark Simoneau played 11 seasons for the Atlanta Falcons, Philadelphia Eagles, New Orleans Saints, and the Kansas City Chiefs. Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. PigskinDispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Each week, the official Football Learning Academy podcast will take you deep into the history of pro football through interviews with players, coaches, or administrators in the NFL, as well as interviews with Pro Football Hall of Fame selectors, authors, and historians. You'll learn how the game evolved and important moments that shaped the sport into what it is today. And don't miss the Pro Football History Nugget of the Week, listen to the official Football Learning Academy podcast on the Sports History Network.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcast. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcast. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.